This time of year, the seasonal fruits and vegetables that are available change. This is kind of the year when we get a little bit of change in the atmosphere and the climate. And according to our guest, you know, that's a good thing because it means that there are lots of winter squash to choose from. I really enjoy winter squash. Squash are versatile. They taste wonderful. They're good for you, too. Amanda Paugh loves winter squash. Today she's going to talk about how to cook with squash varieties that you may be familiar with or maybe not so familiar with. And she has some storage and cooking techniques, recipes that are going to get your taste buds ready for fall. She's a passionate tastemaker, self-taught cook, photographer, and she's author of the blog Heartbeat Kitchen, and it's wonderful to have her with us today. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us again here on the Ideas Network.
Hi, Larry. It's great to talk to you again.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you back, and it was so much fun to pick your book up again, Smitten with Squash, and go through it and revel in the wonderful recipes that are in there, and just sort of with anticipation of what's to come here over the next few months eating these winter squash.
Yes, it certainly is. And, you know, that's kind of what's nice about these great vegetables and fruits, where they're timeless. You know, a cookbook doesn't really age when we have this awesome bounty every single year.
What do you love about winter squash? You're a big fan, I know.
Oh, yes. I am. You know, I was really smitten, if you will, by the fact that there's so many varieties of winter squash that are still being yet explored and becoming more popular. And the versatility of them really rivals any other vegetable, I think, out there. And it can be used in so many things, from sweet to savory and to tart, you know, to different cultures, to different cuisines. And, you know, it's something that you can begin cooking with and then start to kind of develop into different ways of using it once you understand which of the textures you like best and which of the flavors you like best.
Well, you have such a broad range of recipes in your book and a lot of excellent tips. For some people, I guess squash can be a little intimidating to prepare.
It certainly can. And I think, you know, the biggest intimidating factor is how do you break it down?
Yeah.
You know, these squash are built with those thick skins, and that is the purpose of those is so that we are able to store them all fall and winter long, you know, through March if they are in proper conditions, which we can talk about. But, you know, that skin and the seeds in the middle can be hard to get around. And when I did a small little segment, a video clip last year, which you can actually find on my blog. I know you guys linked to that Minnesota wild rice and butternut squash salad recipe, and the video is actually on, it's in that post, but it's a real short segment on how to break down a butternut squash, because that's typically what people will start with. It's very familiar to them, and it's very accessible. And what the most important thing to do with any type of squash, but what you'll see in that video, is you want to cut both ends off before you do anything else. And that's going to give you two flat surfaces, because part of the problem is the wobbliness of these.
Yep.
You know, they look odd and they're odd shaped. So you want to get two pieces that are flat. And then you want to, you know, stick your knife in with the tip and go from there, instead of a lot of times people will start with the middle of the knife and almost kind of try to saw it.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't
work.
You really need that sharp tip to get started. And from there you can wiggle and work your way in.
And, you know, I've used that method after watching your sometime back, and that's the way to do it. I mean, it really, to cut that end off those ends off, then you've got a flat surface, as you say, to work with, and you're not going to, you're less likely to stab yourself.
Right. And it's funny, you know, the squashes that sometimes look like they have a thin skin, for instance, spaghetti squash, that skin doesn't look as burly and tough as something like, you know, a Blue Hubbard or a Delicata. However, that skin is some of the toughest, and those are typically the ones that I struggle with the most. And what I've done with those is I will bake them whole for 15 minutes at 350 degrees and then cut the ends off and then slice it, you know, vertically down the middle. And it is much, much easier. And you don't really cook the squash. It's just the effect of it is essentially softening that skin.
Oh, that's a great idea. I love that.
And it's kind of like pre-baking it, too, if you are going to roast it, because then, you know, you've already got 15 minutes in.
Amanda Pa, our guest today, and boy, we're staying with the Minnesota Historical Society Press today, because Astonishing Apples, from our earlier author, is from that book, or from that press. And Amanda's book, Smitten with Squash, is also from Minnesota Historical Society Press, two wonderful books. And so if you're going online to order them, they're probably almost next to each other on on the Minnesota Historical Society Press's site. Anyway.
Yes. They're also on Amazon, too.
They're on Amazon. And I always like to put in a plug for your local bookstore. If you have a local bookstore, your local bookstore, if they don't have it on hand, they can order it and have it lickety-split.
Certainly.
So I really like to do that. So it's great to talk with her. Again, you can join in. I haven't given the number again, so let me do that right now. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. How do you use squash? Have you tried some different kinds of squash lately? Or what's your favorite winter squash? Maybe the recipe? Call us, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you as we visit today with Amanda Pa. And I had a question I was going to ask you, and it just flew out of my brain. For some reason, that happens to me once in a while, but here's another one, and that involves storage. And when you store, where do you put? You know, anymore we don't have a good storage place. At least I don't in my house anymore, because the basement's is probably about the same temperature as every other floor.
Yeah, and that's how I am too. But if you do have a basement, as long as it's dry, that can be a good spot to store it. You want it, the environment should be dry, cool, and without a lot of light. So, like for me, we live in a condo and we're on the top floor. And so the closest thing that I can get to that, and this might sound odd to some people, but is underneath my bed. It's typically the coolest spot, is on the floor, and there's no light that shines in there. There is some air movement, but it's relatively dry. And I find that works really really well. So if you, and I have hardwood, that's to remember if you have hardwood floors.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, I suggest in your pantry, just not, if you don't keep them near the stove, so like underneath the sink, if there's no chemicals around, is another good spot. And I don't recommend out in the garage, because although it can be cool, it sometimes gets too cool and also very damp. So mold can set in those spots. Now, ideally, like, you know, if you live on a farm or out in the country, you probably have some type of root cellar. And that's, you know, a lot of times farmers who are selling these squashes all through winter markets, that's what they do, is they store those in there along with their apples and some of their other root vegetables. And they really, truly can last, you know, 6 months.
And that was, when you mentioned apples, that was my question that I can now remember. Because Joan Donatelli had a pumpkin and apple soup.
Lovely.
And I wondered if you combine apples with squash very often.
You know, it's a great combination. I typically, if it's such a nice, sweet and savory kind of, you know, combination that I really love. But in my book, I also, I'm just looking through here. I did it's like a crisp, and it's with the butternut squash. I'm trying to find the recipe here. Yeah, here we go. And this is a vanilla bean butternut apple crisp. And so what you do is you cut the butternut into small dices along with the apples. And you bake that with, you know, some sugar and some real, you know, fragrant vanilla beans that you scoop the seeds out of. And then the topping is like, you know, an oat and almond meal and dark brown sugar type of crust that goes on to it. And it is really, you know, it's the tart apples and those mellow squash are just really harmonious together. And as it bakes, you know, it bubbles and it's just wonderful. And I have both, you know, in there to use. You can either use regular flour or you can use all-purpose gluten-free flour. And it's just a lovely fall dessert. And just kind of a new way to combine, you know, apples and squash.
Oh, it sounds absolutely wonderful. Cassandra in La Crosse, I don't know, we may not have enough. Cassandra, how do you use squash?
Oh, my father, he lives about 2 hours away from me, grows a whole bunch of different kinds. Like, I love delicata squash. Like, they are my absolute favorite.
My favorite, too.
And even though that there isn't that much meat to them, I love peeling them and dicing them up, and you stick them in a frying pan with butter and a little olive oil.
Now, you know you can eat the skin on those, right?
Well, yes, but for breakfast, we like peeling them, but yes.
Yeah. Because I love, one of the things that I love most about them is that you don't have to peel them, and it makes it so easy. But
you know what? Hold on to that thought, both of you. We're going to take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with our guest. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Well, no matter what the season, there are delicious varieties of squash that you and I can enjoy. And this time of year, those beautiful and delicious winter varieties, I think, kind of take center stage. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we visit with Amanda Paugh, who is the author of the blog Heartbeat Kitchen. We have a link to it on our Facebook page. And she's the author of the wonderful book Smitten with Squash. And Amanda, thanks again for taking time to be with us today. It's always a lot of fun.
Yes, always fun to talk to you and to all your wonderful listeners.
And Cassandra, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Larry.
Oh, okay. Cassandra from La Crosse called in earlier, and you mentioned delicata.
I did. It is so delicious. And I just usually fry it for breakfast with coriander and garlic and olive oil.
Oh, so the coriander is a nice touch.
Oh, yes, and it goes so well with it since it's such a buttery squash anyways.
Yeah.
It's so good, and my kids just gobble it up.
That's so great that you're introducing them to it, too.
Oh, yes. Well, they usually, throughout the year, we help plant all the squash plants, and we help go down there and hoe them and get the weeds out. And, you know, then we go down and we pick them. And, you know, my dad has so many different varieties, like turban and buttercup and butternut. Yeah. And, oh, gosh, and they just love it, you know. And it's a good experience for them. You know, I think that kids nowadays really lose that farm to table type setting, and it's good to be able to introduce that, at least for my kids.
Yeah,
I think so too. And you know, like I always say, I think so many of us grew up on you know, acorn that our mothers had, you know, put with butter and brown sugar and just baked it. And although that's good, I mean, it's not really the most flavorful way to make the squash. And a lot of times we end up thinking we don't like it. And, you know, acorn squash is typically one of the more vegetal and watery. And so people tend to think that that's how all squash are. But as you mentioned, like delicata or the real, you know, dense squashes like the buttercup, they're so sweet and they have such great texture that it's just a completely different experience. And so, like you, like if you can start your kids on different ones like that, you know, hopefully they'll end up thinking that they're a really great thing to eat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks, Cassandra.
Thank you very much, and you guys have a wonderful day. Thank you very
much. You too.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Thanks again for calling. And we're going to go to Lynette in Richfield next. Well, there's a line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Lynette now in Richfield. Hi, Lynette.
Hi, Larry. You were looking for something to do with squash and apples together.
Yeah.
And making a soup. And it's really, really simple to take some butternut and dice it up and with some onions, and I prefer the Vidalia onion. Roast that up and add in some whatever kind of tart apple that you like, a Macintosh or whatever, a couple of those. Roast them up in the oven until they're nice and soft and mushy. And then throw them into a pot with some chicken stock and, you know, season with your salt and pepper and a half a teaspoon of curry powder. Use your immersion blender. Make it nice and smooth, and just keep adding chicken stock until you get it to the consistency you want. And that is the most wonderful soup, and it's really versatile. You can add cashews or, you know, as a garnish, or some flaked coconut as a garnish. It's wonderful.
Oh,
it sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. So butternut and then a good tart apple.
Yeah, usually I usually put in two
apples.
Two pretty good sized tart-ish
apples.
Yeah, like a Macintosh.
Okay.
Portland would be good too. They're a little tarter and they're very local.
Cortland, yeah, that's not a bad idea either. Thanks, Lynette.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And I've forgotten about my immersion blender. It's sitting up in my...
Those are handy.
Oh, they are, and I just haven't used mine in a while. So thanks for reminding me about the fact that it's in my cupboard, waiting to be used again.
Yeah, and inexpensive.
What's that?
And inexpensive to buy.
Yeah, they're not expensive at all.
No.
Alice in Fall Creek has a comment. Hi, Alice.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say that I heard Amanda on your program last fall, I think it was, mm-hmm. when the book first
yes, it
came
was.
Out. And I said to my sister, Carol, how wonderful the book sounded. And she said, what are you talking about? I know Amanda. My Carol is my sister. She's the uber knowledgeable squash lady of the St. Paul Farmer's Market put in your acknowledgments.
Yes. Carol at the St. Paul Farmer's Market knows more about squash, and she works they're a little small farm in Arkansas, Wisconsin actually, and they grow so many different varieties as well. And she, you know, they were my biggest source when I was developing all the recipes for the book, and Carol was a lot of the research. She was my research.
She's also my sister, so I just wanted to say it's a fabulous
book. That's amazing.
And I'm enjoying the discussion today, too.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you called, Alice. Thank you.
Okay.
Nice to talk. And I think, you know, she got the book for you, didn't she?
sure did, and you signed
yes.
it for me.
And I signed it.
Yeah, sure did. Thank
wonderful.
You.
Oh, well, this is all these connections. You know, I was talking with Joan Donatelli. The editor for her book happened to call, and Joan had not met her. I don't think they just had, you know, probably email connections back and forth. So there's that, and then here we've got another sister, Alice's sister, who is a main source for you for your book.
Yes,
I love it.
Small world.
It's a small world. You know, Chris commented and I called in and said, it's really important to talk about baking the squash seeds because a lot of people throw them away and they're actually good for you.
Yes, the squash seeds are excellent. And, you know, you do the same that you would with pumpkin seeds as far as like scooping them out, cleaning them. I've got kind of in the book, I have basically a master recipe with different seasoning variations. I did find that boiling the seeds for about 10 minutes and letting them dry, you know, so if you do that like a few days before and then you roast them, that seemed to get them more crisp and have a better, you know, almost like a texture, a bite to them, because sometimes they can still hold a little of that moisture content, but they are, you know, a very good source of nutrition, of healthy fats. I even, you know, as your caller or reader mentioned, you know, to not throw them away. Another piece to not throw away is the skin. So if you do roast a squash and you scoop out the insides of it, and you've got that, you know, dead skin basically there, you can save that and throw it into a vegetable stock along with the seeds, and it's going to add flavor to that as well. And then put it in your compost pile once you're done making the stock.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that, but why not?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, you know, we've talked about apples, among other things. What are some great food combinations that go great with squash?
Well, rosemary and sage are two herbs that go extremely well with just about any variety of squash. And they, if we think of their, you know, profile, they kind of are warm, but they're rich spices or, you know, the flavor profiles that really play off the subtle sweetness of squash. And, you know, if the simplest thing of if you do some fettuccine noodles with really good olive oil and you've roasted some squash and you grate some Parmesan and fry some sage leaves in olive oil and top that with it, it's going to really just sing. And those, you know, if there's anything simple of just like roasting squash and adding herbs to it, those would be my two favorites. Another really good complementing, if you think of a profile, is curry. I've got a couple of like, or just even those deep seasoned spice mixes, like za'atar, which is kind of a Greek-type Mediterranean seasoning that goes really well with it. I also have an African red peanut stew in the book, and I use the red curry squash in that one because when it's cubed, it stays, you know, the same shape, basically. It doesn't wilt down through mm-hmm. a long braise. And it soaks in those flavors of the rich tomato and, you know, just those brilliant spices. And I tend to like that too. But as we were talking, you know, apples are another good complementing flavor. What else? You know, with cheeses, if you're going to do something with cheese and squash, I tend to go, towards something that is aged, because you kind of lose the, well, let's just say that melting cheeses don't add much to squash because they're both kind of base flavors. So I tend to go with more flavorful cheeses like Parmesan or aged Gruyere or Swiss or even, you know, I love blue cheese. Like a blue cheese butternut squash pizza is fabulous.
Oh, never thought of that.
Yeah.
And actually, I should have thought of that. You have that in your book, don't you? Or do you?
I have a risotto in there that is similar.
Okay, that's where it is.
Yep. Yep.
I was sure I remember that. And you're right, blue cheese would be good. It's funny, we do just, at least I do not associate cheese with squash. And why not? Certain kinds.
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's, I think it's just because, you know, like I said, the real melty cheddar, like that type of stuff is not typically what I would use with squash.
No. Do you, by the way, our guest today, Amanda Pa, is the author of Smitten with Squash, and I'm having a lot of fun talking with her. We had a Facebook question from Lori. How do I know when my winter squash is ready to pick? Is there any indication other than color? And by the way, it was a great year for squash in my area of the UP.
Oh, well, great. It's been a great year for squash around here, too, in the Midwest, I know. But one good indicator is the top. So, like, the handle of the squash, the stem, should be, if all, just a bit green, but it should be mostly dried out. It should not have much green at all left to it on the stem. And once you then pick that, you're going to want to cure it. So basically, you're going to want to leave that dry, which is going to help the sugars, the natural sugars inside of the squash start to turn over. And that's what's going to help the squash mature and become sweeter. If you pick it too soon, you'll notice that it doesn't come off the vine very easily. And the other thing to know is acorn is one where you can tell if it's not necessarily ripe, but that it's been sitting in the field enough, long enough, is that it will get that little orange spot on the bottom of where it's been lying. So if you turn over the squash and you see some of that orange, you know that it's been sitting there maturing, and that's a good sign as well.
We have, if somebody wondered, you know, we see a lot of buttercup, butternut, and acorn squash. Just for somebody trying out squash for the first time, and those are the ones you've got available, would you go with a buttercup?
I love buttercup, yes. I think that, so a buttercup is also, it's basically the same as kabocha squash. The difference that you'll find is the buttercup has a bubble on the bottom, and a kabocha does not. A kabocha is flat on the bottom. And the if you can find a kabocha, I actually recommend that because what happens is you lose all the meat that's in that little bubble of the buttercup because you basically just have to cut it off and it's all skin pretty much. The other thing too is a lot of times those why farmers have a more difficult time growing those is because since that it's like a outer, you know, little knob, that will the frost will get that sooner and sometimes kill the inside of the squash. But that is the, I mean, I love the sweetness of it. I love the texture because it's not as, mushy yet. So like the puree for, if you're thinking for baked goods, it makes a fabulous pie. You don't have to worry about it being as watery as a pumpkin pie. And it also creates just wonderful soups. If you use some cream, and you know, some onions that you're boiling down and maybe some fresh rosemary in there, that's wonderful.
And that's on your cover, right? That's buttercup?
The butternut squash is on the cover.
Oh, that's right. Butternut.
Yes. But butternut, you know, if you've never really played around with that, I recommend, you know, dicing that into even-sized pieces and roasting it. with a bit of salt and white pepper and some fresh thyme sprigs kind of nestled up underneath the diced cubes, and just letting it roast until it gets browned. And you'll be able to taste the true flavor. The roasting at that, you know, higher heat will help remove some of that moisture and just make it really, really delicious.
Oh, sounds wonderful. Donya in Bayfield has a question. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning, or afternoon, I should say. I have two questions. One is, I wondered if you'd ever heard of my favorite squash, which is Uncle Dave's Dessert Squash.
Now that is a new one, so it must be an heirloom.
It probably is, because I know the gal I gardened with always got her seeds from an organic seed company. And that's where we found it. It's really a wonderful
I wonder if squash. It was from Seed Savers in Decorah, Iowa. I met with them last year, and they are doing a wonderful job of saving all of these old different types of heirloom squashes, and that is probably one of them.
Maybe. And the other question I had was, have you ever, and you might have even said this, have you ever roasted a squash whole in your oven without cutting and scooping first and just maybe putting a little piece of tinfoil under it just to catch, you know, because it weeps weep at the end?
Yep.
And I found that it was very helpful to me. It keeps it very nice and moist for drier squashes. And I had a really tough time cutting some of those bigger squashes raw because they're so hard.
Right. I did mention that in the first part, and like you, what I tend to do is roast it whole if I can't get it open for about 15 minutes, and then I will cut it open and deseed it or not deseed it. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter depending on what you're doing with it. And the reason why I do like to open it is because I do like the caramelized, flesh that comes from that, the at least the one side of it being cut open. And that's just my personal preference. But I have done it, like you said, where I just continue roasting the whole thing until it's, you know, basically soft to a fork when you touch it like a potato. And, you know, it's a very nice hands-off method. And like you said, for some of those really, like, the Blue Hubbard, if you get a baby Blue Hubbard, you know, that is a very, very dry squash, and it does help keep the moisture in, like you said.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Amanda, just in the last minute or so here, your book, go ahead and describe how your book is organized and so forth.
Yeah. So my book, you know, Smitten with Squash, since squash is more than just winter squash, it also has summer squash recipes. So it's divided by summer squash and winter squash. And so there's about 40 summer squash recipes, you know, including zucchini and zephyr squash and eight ball and all those. And then the winter squash is divided by squash. So there's, I think it's 7 or 8 squashes that I detail in there. And instead of, you know, putting it in order of, like, appetizers and salads and whatnot, I decided to arrange the recipes per squash. Because, you know, typically when we go to the farmer's market or the grocery store and we pick up, let's say, a delicata or, you know, one of these little tiny, you know, carnival squashes, we don't say, oh, I'm going to make an appetizer or I'm going to make a dessert. You say, what the heck can I do with this thing?
And it's a great way to organize.
Yeah. So, you know, you open the book, you've got your squash in your hand, or you're standing there at the market with the book, and there you've got, you know, each squash has about 6 to 7 recipes per squash. And they range from, you know, soups to salads to desserts to snacks to whatever. But it's just an easy way to navigate. And I feel like, and what I've heard from a lot of people is it's not so overwhelming, you know, and they can really just find something, stick with it, and get cooking.
And it's a great pleasure to have a chance to talk with you again, Amanda. I hope we get a chance to do it again.
I hope so, too. Yes. And, yeah, if anybody has any other questions, you know, they can reach me through my Facebook page, too, which is Heartbeat Kitchen, and beet is spelled like the vegetable, mm-hmm. or my blog. There's a contact page on there as well. So.
Thank you so much. And we have links on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show as well. Amanda Pa, our guest, author, among other things, of Smitten with Squash. Great to have her along. Tomorrow, Phil Pelletieri joins us to talk about insects. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.